las muchachas. Llama mamacita, mamacita, ven pa' acá. Vamos, nena, ándale, muchacha, a callar todas.
Thank you. You're all very kind. And thanks for all squeezing into the back of the van like that. That's pretty packed pretty tight back there. Ouch, that looks painful. Okay, let's do podcast number 3 here. And the reason for that, well, first of all, because 3 comes after 2. But also because it has come to my attention that there are those of you out there who are still listening. So I will continue on until you stop that. And so you really have no one to blame but yourself here. Once again, I am an actual functioning locksmith, although I don't function as much as I used to, but I'm hoping to increase my fiber intake and remedy that. But anyway, I drive around in my van with a large studio audience, and I share with you my philosophies on life. Now, I'm hoping the sound quality on this podcast will be vastly improved because I am coming to you live on my new top-of-the-line professional model Sony BM1 digital tape recorder. I love that name, the BM1. And you notice how I avoided getting run over there by straight-arming that pickup truck that almost killed me. This is the top-of-the-line model. Yes, it's refurbished, but I'm hoping it was refurbished by a non-disgruntled Sony employee whose blood alcohol level was under 0.08. Yeah, this thing's really cool. You can actually edit right on the digital recorder itself, so I don't have to use the editing program on my computer, which had a tendency to leave sort of a high-pitched whining sound in the background. So sort of made me feel like I was still married to my first wife. You know, out of the hundreds of emails that I've gotten about this podcast... I haven't gotten any emails. Nobody even has my email address. Actually, that's not true. I did get one email on the webpage that carries my podcast. And it said, nice pictures, but I couldn't get your stupid podcast to work. And which amazed me, because I thought, wow, this person is good. Like, how did he even know my podcast was stupid without even hearing it? Then I realized it's probably just a lucky guess. But, you know, that reminds me, I would like to say to that person, thank you for your support. You know, it's because of people like you that I continue to do what I do. But then I realized, well, you probably can't hear what I'm saying because you can't figure out how to actually turn the podcast on. So, never mind. All right, truth be told, there was actually a second comment left on the webpage about the podcast, and it was from a guy in London who said, nice to hear you chattering on about this and that. I liked the musical interludes. And, you know, I read that over several times, and for the life of me, I couldn't figure out whether that was a compliment or that's just how they insult people in London. So, Mr. London guy, if you're listening to this, can you maybe send me a clarification on that? And I'd like to congratulate you on figuring out how to actually listen to the podcast, because that puts you in the top 50% of people who have responded to the podcast. But let's say I did get emails. I would imagine one of them would probably say, you know, Tony, how can I become a big podcasting star such as yourself? First of all, discard any pride you might have in yourself, or operate under an alias. Second, go out and get yourself a nice $4 eBay digital recorder. I mean, you don't want to spend any less than that. You want quality here. Then, instead of spending 30 years in traffic like I did, what you can do to condense that down would be to go to your garage, turn on your car, walk around to the back, and put your face in front of the tailpipe, and breathe deeply for about 2 minutes. And then just start talking into the tape recorder. My guess is you'll shoot right to the top of the podcasting world.
Well, for those of you who are actually thinking of sticking your face in front of a tailpipe for 2 minutes, please do not. I was just kidding. The fact is that 30 seconds should do it for most non-college graduates.
All right, well, in order to prove my credentials, I'm going to give you a locksmithing anecdote right now. Now, remember, these stories, are based on 93.5% fact or fact byproduct, not suggested for pregnant women or those with kidney or bladder problems. Please consult your doctor before listening.
Over the years, I've trained several locksmiths, and a lot of them have gone on to start their own businesses successfully. Others have, continued their education and graduated from various drug rehab centers. And still others are awaiting parole. But when I'm first teaching a locksmith and we're out on the road, a lot of times they'll turn to me and say, "Tony, do you think I did a good job in fixing this lock?" Well, I try to take a Zen approach to locksmithing, so I answer their question with a question. I will say, "Well, my son, do you think this lock will last long enough for the customer's check to clear? If so, our work here is done." All right, here is an interesting thing about locksmithing. I was cleaning out my storage shed today, and I ran across an old legal form that I used to have my employees sign before I would allow them to work for me. Now, the story behind this was that for years I observed their behavior, and was quite appalled at the things that they would do, never imagining that anyone in their right mind would do these things. So then I thought, well, maybe it's my fault. Maybe I should make it clearer to them what's required of them. So I wrote this form up to have them sign before they started working for me. Okay, now as I read this form, you will notice that I'm not only reading, but I'm, as you can tell from the background, I'm also driving. I'm eating a donut, and I'm also juggling three hamsters, so keep that in mind.
Okay, so I'll read the form exactly as it was written. As an employee of Abco Lock and Key, I pledge the following. If I notice a steering problem with the van, I will report it immediately and not take bets as to the first one who will be injured. I will not perform any job requested by anyone residing in a mental institution unless they pay cash up front. I will not bring my junkyard-trained German Shepherd on a lock job with me without first feeding him and putting a muzzle on him. I will not order meat through the U.S. mail under the name of Abco Lock and then write it off as a van equipment expense. I will not expose any part of my body to an Abco Lock customer that should be seen only by my spouse or doctor. When I take the van home for the purpose of responding to evening service calls, I will not get coked up and take it on a reckless driving spree through several different states before returning it to work the next day. I will not run the service van into anything that has the ability to hire a lawyer or that can fight back in any way. I will not sell the tools and equipment in the van at the local flea market and then claim that centrifugal force hurled them out of the window as I was trying to avoid a large hairy animal that had found its way onto the roadway. I will not perform any felony out of the service van without at least covering the license plate first. I will not neglect to show up for work and disappear off the face of the earth without first leaving a suicide note. I will not bend, fold, spindle, or mutilate any Abco Lock customer without first considering that the owner will perform that very same act on me, plus throw in a super wedgie at no extra charge. I will not set up several appointments with customers and then not show up because of the Charles Bronson movie marathon on Channel 36.
I will not go on a 7-day drinking binge and end up in a dumpster without first notifying my employer. Okay, so that's podcast number 3. Now I'm going to ask a favor this time. If you enjoyed this podcast, there's any chance that you might want to help, with expenses of this podcast, such as my hairdresser and my makeup artist and my manicurist, if you could possibly send a check for $12,000 to Louis, I'll say it slowly, Louis the Weasel Graviano, P.O. Box 90210, Oakland, California. Louis is a good personal friend who did lend me some money for this podcast, and he says that if he gets the money within the month, he will release my dog Puddles back to me, and everyone will be happy. So thanks, and see ya.